أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Verse number 35 in Surah Al-Yusuf Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُوا الْآيَاتِ لَيَسْجُنُنَّهُ حَتَّى هِمْ So remember what's happening so far. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam has proved his innocence in front of the Aziz of Misr. He's shown that his shirt was ripped from behind, which means it was not him who was tempting Zuleika, rather it was the other way around. And of course the women saw the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, which we covered last week. They saw the beauty in the complexion and his physical beauty. But we also talked about his inner beauty as well. Because what did they say when they saw him? In hadha illa malakun kareem. So they saw his angelic beauty as well. The malakiyya, which our ulama tell us to strengthen, to have angelic qualities in ourselves. In any case, when it became clear, so Allah saying, ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ Later on, even after seeing the clear signs of his innocence, he was innocent. Until now, Allah has shown to us Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was innocent. Min ba'di ma ra'aw al-ayat. They were shown the ayat to show that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was completely absolved of any guilt. La yasjununnahu hatta heen. They decided that they should place him in prison for some time. So you can see the injustice. The injustice is what? That he's innocent. Yet they're going to treat him like he's guilty, like he is a convict. So we see here injustice being taking place. But remember, my friends, and I want you to position yourself in this story as well. At times, things go wrong. Things don't seem to be happening the way it should be happening. Zulm takes place. But we only see it at that moment in time. We don't see the wisdom behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ordering of the universe. So remember that. So as believers, we don't just think what's happening now is evil. It might look evil now, but in a few weeks, in a few months, in a few years, we will see the wisdom behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing certain things in the world. So we believe in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the good of it and the evil of it. Fahimtum? Does that make sense? Very, very important. Then what happens? He enters prison. That's the next verse. Verse number 36. وَدَخَلَ مَعُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانَ Two men entered prison with him. We're not given too much details by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we don't need to know the details here. But then Allah says, قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَعْصِرُ خَمْرًا They both come to him. And according to most ulama, they say that both of these prisoners, they saw dreams. It's not mentioned explicitly in the Quran again, but ulama mentioned that it's most likely that they saw certain dreams. قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَعْصِرُ خَمْرًا One of them said, I see myself in my dream pressing wine. That's interesting, when I read this last night, sawal came to my mind, that you don't press wine. What do you press?
Grapes.
You all know how alcohol is made, mashallah. Yeah? You don't press wine, you press grapes to make wine. That's what happens. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in language as well, that we don't always talk cause about a, we don't talk about a cause, we talk about an effect. You understand? Yeah? So you say you're making orange juice or you're making something, you're talking about what you're doing. What you're really doing is squeezing oranges. If somebody says to you, what are you doing? You don't say I'm squeezing oranges. You tell them what you're actually doing, which is that I'm making orange juice. I like it, technically you're not making orange juice. You're squeezing the orange juice. Can you see? So we use this in our zuban, our language as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it easy for us. He's not giving us the details. Because that's not important. But he's making wine, basically. He's pressing wine. We'll come to what the dream means maybe in the next few lessons, inshallah. Then the second person says, I saw myself carrying bread فَوْقَ رَأْسِي upon my head, and birds were eating from it. So what do they say to him? نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِ O Yusuf, tell us the dream. What does this mean? Tell us the ta'wil, the interpretation of this dream. إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ It's beautiful. Indeed, we see you from the one who does good deeds. Sawal paida hota hai. They just met him. They've just been in prison with him, maybe a few weeks, few months. How can they say about him straight away that ab muhsin hai? You're such a good person. Allah doesn't tell us the details, but this tells us something about Anbiya and something that we should have. That we should have such sterling qualities, such good qualities, that even evil people, these are people in prison, they've done something wrong, so they're in prison. Even evil people, even immoral people see the good in you. Dekha apne? Muhsin. Muhsin kya? What's the meaning of Muhsin? Ihsan ka na? To do good to people, even if they do bad to you. Inna naraka min al-muhsinin. So Allah is making a very, very subtle indication here. Now look at these people, they're in prison. They're prisoners. But yet they must have seen something in Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, which made them say this particular comment about him. So how wise is Allah, my friends, that to protect his great prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, there's ironies. Main kehta hun ko irony kehte hai. That Allah wanted to protect his prophet, so what did he do? He put him in a cage. He put him in prison. And this is an irony. This is a twist of fate. Allah wanted to protect his prophet, so he placed him in a cage. He placed him in prison. Ajib how Allah works. Because with zahir, we only see the external of things. But Allah placed his prophet to protect him in prison. Dekha? The Aziz of Misr and the women, they were convinced that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was the most moral person that they could ever find. He was a great person. They were convinced. But they had to do something because the rumor spreading throughout the city. So what do? When a rumor spreading, you don't want to fan the flames of rumor. So the person who is the one who is in the middle of the rumor, you have to take him out. This is what I have to do, because you have to stop the rumor. You have to stop the rumors spreading around, everybody spreading WhatsApp messages. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? So sometimes you have to stem the tide and say, okay, for now, we need you to step aside. So that's what they did to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah had a better plan for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. How often do we feel, I put a question here for myself, how often do we feel unjustly imprisoned by other people? I'm using a metaphor. How often does it happen to us that people do zulam upon us? Injustice takes place upon us. But remember, my friends, we will see in this story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love zulam. Inna Allaha la yuzlimun nas. Allah never oppresses people. Allah does not like zulam. Allah does not love zulam. In fact, our ulama say in the books of Kalam that Allah loves justice so much. Suno meribat. Allah loves justice so much that if a non-Muslim is just, Allah will give him hukumat instead. You know, we want Muslim rule. What we don't think about is we want just rule. Because Allah is just. Remember what I said many, many times. We have to mirror attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah is just, we must always strive for justice, equality and justice. So despite his mistreatment, his treatment of his fellow inmates, the people he is in prison with, must have been with compassion, because they call him the Muhsineen. And they must have seen him. They must have seen his behavior. We can see that you're a man of good deeds. We trust you. Dekha apne? Like in prison, you don't find the saints of the community. You find the dregs of the community in jail, in prison. But even then, this Nabi of Allah is doing da'wah and tabligh. Dekha apne? Jail maybe, even in prison, he's not sitting there thinking, I'm oppressed and I'm not going to do anything. No, he's doing da'wah and tabligh even in prison. Jaha kahibi ho, wherever I am, whatever situation I am in, I am always going to do da'wah and tabligh. And this is also important usul for us. For as long as any community is doing da'wah and tabligh, Allah will assist them, inshaAllah ta'ala. This is why da'wah and tabligh is so important through this ayat of Surah Yusuf alayhi salam. Everyone should be involved. If we can't get involved, we should be supporting the effort in whatever way, shape or form it is. Because that's where our salvation lies. So the work of da'wah and tabligh, like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is doing it, we must follow his way. And he's in a place where there's criminals, the unwanted of society, yet he treats them with the best of manners. So also when we do da'wah and tabligh, we never judge those people. Dekha? We treat them as good human beings, as insan and makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we heal and we repair souls. We don't disdain people. Just because they're from prison, the laws of people, we don't disdain them. We look upon them as servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by our fitrah, we know from our ulama, human beings are good by nature. They become corrupted. So our job is to help them on the path to islah. Our job is to help them on the path to Islam, which means that we need to use wisdom in that. So sometimes Maulana Harun might say to somebody, Akile ye jaiz hai abhi. Don't think that Maulana Harun is allowing something haram in the Sharia. Maybe for that person, we need to do Islam this way. But someone like you guys, mashallah, all awliya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I might be more stern with you if you do something wrong. Why? Because you guys are first soft people, mashallah. Allah keep you there. Like you're regulars in the masjid. But someone that's not regular in this masjid, I might be like, by Abi Rawado, let it slide. Abi unko chenamat. Because he's just coming to the masjid today, bichara, and then he's going to come to the masjid, Labak Musalla, and on the first experience, Maulana Harun stepped up to him and cursed him and said something bad to him. No, wisdom dictates that we do things accordingly. So this is the wisdom of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So they saw two dreams independently. According to some ulama, the one who saw the dream about the wine, he was a royal cup bearer. He had the job of giving the drink to the king or to royal people. And the other person was the one who was a chef of the royal family. We don't know the details, but this is what some ulama tell us. This is why I'm separating what's in the Quran and what is not in the Quran, so you can follow the story clearly. It's very, very important. Because lots of people, they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in the Quran. And I say, no, Allah did not say that in the Quran. That's what you've heard. That's what you've made as an observation, but it's not in the Quran. So we always have to separate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and what the ulama say. And the ulama are very careful about this, by the way. So we have to be very, very careful. Ihtiyat se bolna chahiye. If you don't know it's in the Quran, don't say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. Even if it's good. Because Allah never said it. So this is very, very important as an usul to remember. So subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows to us, they said to him, Nabbina bi ta'wili. They say to him, tell me the dreams of the dreams. What does it mean? Yusuf alayhi salatu was very, very clever. He said, usse pehle, before I tell you what you want to hear from me, let me do a little bit of da'wah and tabligh. Jail maybe, dunya ki, they've got dunyawi maqsad, but some deen is being brought into it as well. Dekho, kitna wisdom ke saath Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is speaking with these prisoners. So what does he do? He establishes a few things. And I'm going to end there, inshallah ta'ala. He says to them, this is in the next verse. Look what he says. He doesn't tell them the answer to their dream. That will come later on. What does a dream mean? He doesn't tell them this. قَالَ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرْزُقَانِهِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ يَأْتِيكُمَا. He says, basically, I'll summarize this for you, that no food comes to you except that I can give you this description of it. In other words, Allah has given me a miracle that before the food comes to you, I'll tell you what it is. Now, this is interesting. Why is he telling them this? It feels like a tangential point. I asked you of this and you're telling me something else. But what's my wisdom here? This is why you have to pay attention to what's being said here very, very carefully. Then what does he say? This miracle that Allah has given to me, مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. Such humility. Allah gave him knowledge of the unseen, i.e. he knows things before it happens in terms of food, but it's nothing to do with me. It's not my kamal. It's from Allah. When we do da'wah and tabligh, going back to our effort here, it's nothing from me. مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. Allah taught me this. Allah brought me onto this path. Allah brought me into the masjid. Allah made me a trustee. Allah made me an imam. Allah made me a muazzin. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's nothing from myself. Because مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي إِنِّي. Then he did something very, very interesting. إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمِ اللَّهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. I've left the way of those people who do not believe in Allah. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كَافِرُونَ. And they don't believe in the afterlife. Now this is very, very important. In our day and age, especially many, many youngsters, because our elders, seniors, they've only got ilm for one place. So they trust their imam sahab, they trust their mufti sahab. But our youngsters, because they get knowledge from all sorts of places, Instagram, social media, Allah knows where they get lots of knowledge from. Even when they're trying to learn about their deen, they get it from all sorts of places. So when we acquire ilm, remember my friends, whether it's in school or madrasa, that ilm comes to you filtered. It has a certain philosophy behind it. It has a certain idea behind why they're teaching you what they're teaching you. So it's very, very important that we know who we are learning from. Where are we taking that knowledge from? Where did you get it from? Our ulama were very strict on this. Where did we hear this from? Who told you this? Because we don't take knowledge from anywhere and everywhere. Just because someone forwards to me something from Instagram or on WhatsApp, doesn't mean I have to believe it. Where's the root for this? So in this vein, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, first of all, he wants to call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before I call you to Allah, I need to show you that you should listen to me. Dekha? Isse pehle, main aapko da'wat do, I need to show to you why you should listen to me. This is very, very important. We don't just assume that everybody is telling us what we need to know. Why should I tell you? Why should you believe me? Why should we trust you? Because the truth of something, the haqq of something, is known by the person who transmits it. That's why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is truthful, because he was never known to lie. He was never known to be someone who was mistrustful. And he always spoke the truth. And his akhlaq spoke of him in that way too. He's a truthful messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what he did was, he set confidence in the people. You know, politicians, they're the opposite, right? Generally speaking. They say, we'll do this, but afterwards, it's whatever they want to do. No, we set confidence in people. Like, no, look at my track record, look at my history. Look, have you ever known me to lie to you? When Prophet sallallahu alaihi went to the mountain, what did he say to them? Have I ever lied to you before? Have you ever known me to lie to you? No. So people's history is important. People's akhlaq is very, very important. So he says, Allah has given me this miracle. Well, I can tell you the food you're going to have before it even comes. This is the knowledge Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this isn't something that comes from astrology, these sort of things. So there's a subtle indication for us, these things are not allowed in Islam as well. Trying to predict the future through these methods, this is not part of Islam as well. But then he does something very, very interesting. The next verse, you can see it. And I'll end here, inshaAllah ta'ala. وَاتَّبَعْتُ. This is the second way of proving. So number one, he's saying that I have miracles. The second thing he's saying, look at my khandan. Achhi khandan hona chahiye, bhai. When you're getting your daughter married, or your son married, you should look for a good family. He's showing this here. Not just anybody, good family. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. I have followed the way of my fathers. Who does he mention? Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam. Ma kana lana. Look at the way he's giving da'wah. You know what I'm saying, Gujarati mein? Yeah, chichis nahi hai, Urdu mein. So look at the way, this is how he's talking in Arabic. Ma kana lana an nushrika billahi min shay. It's not appropriate for us, my friends. It's not appropriate for us to do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, chichis nahi hai. Look at the way he's speaking. You can almost sense it in the Arabic here as well. He's not using harsh words. Like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were stern, if you were hard-hearted, these people would have fled away from you. There's a time to be stern. There's a time to be harsh. But it's usually the exception. If you want to win people over, you have to use gentleness. And this comes in many, many places in the Quran. We don't shout and scream from the minbar. We don't attack people. We don't do this. This is not the way of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and neither is it the way of our akabir. Our akabir always use wisdom to bring people close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the way he says it. He doesn't say, you evil prisoners, you're mushriki. He doesn't point fingers at them. He says, al-mushrika. Look at the way he's saying it. Hum, not tu or ab. He's saying hum. Even though Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is not a mushrik. But how does he say? All of us. Sarko, we shouldn't do association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nushrika means hum. Look at this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing this. Billahi min shay. Zalika min fadlillahi alayna wa ala nasi wa lakin aktara nasi la shkurun. When Allah gives you hidayat, it's a fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, most people are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first of all, he establishes that he has a certain miracle as to why they should listen to him. And then he says, look at my family. I'm from this great family. So nobility is very, very important. You should cultivate a good family at home. So people know you in Blackburn that Fulani family, mashallah, Buhari's. Good family, good people, trusted people. We don't want to have a family that has a bad reputation. For many reasons. And when it comes to rishta, people always ask Kiwi family share what they like. Because people want their son and daughter to get married into a good family. Why wouldn't they? It's a reasonable expectation to have. So this is something to bear in mind. I also want to make one very usuli point here, if you allow me to. You know, nowadays, and this is going to be my cultural critique of today. Nowadays, we think that dawah has to be done in big, big places. Big venues, big masajid, big halls, these sort of things. But look very carefully here, my friends, in the Quran. He's talking to two people personally. Personally, dawah. You know, you go out and knock on people's doors. That's a Yusuf. I call it a Yusufi dawah. Yusuf Dawud, because this is the way of Yusuf alayhi salam, knocking on people's doors. Not doing a big majlis, You can do that, of course. Of course, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do this. But look at this very, very carefully. Who's he giving da'wah to? Two people, privately. Personal form of da'wah. In other words, there's never, never an opportunity missed to give da'wah to someone. Aap kaam par bhi ho. You're working with colleagues, non-Muslim. You're buying, selling with non-Muslims. Even a Muslim. Thoda sa da'wah kar lo. Sometimes you don't even need to say anything. You can keep the change. You can keep the change, fine. Yeah, here's some money for you. You know, thank you for doing this for me. Just little things like this of da'wah are very, very important. This is the way. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is doing a small gathering. He's not doing a big gathering here. Private form of da'wah, personal form of da'wah. I wrote here, we're not a mega church tradition. You know, in America, what do they have? Big, huge churches. And it's all performance. And then the pastor, he's like the most immoral person because he's a millionaire. They find out that uske pastor mansion here. You must have heard these stories. Mega church, pata hai na po? Not church like this, big, bara church. So we are not a mega church tradition. Even in small places like this, this is down. Even when you go knock on someone's door, you're doing the da'wah of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. You're doing the da'wah of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Samajh mein aa gaya meri baat? Very, very important point. And so, you know, always turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not just, you know, we don't call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we need to. But whenever we are out and about, we never miss an opportunity to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is always with you. Allah has never abandoned you. This is why he says, I have not abandoned the way of those who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also shows this verse towards the end here, where he says, مَا كَانَ لَا نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And he talks about this kufr here, the verse number one before that. I'll end in a few minutes, inshallah. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كَافِرُونَ. It also shows, according to our ulama, that there's only believers and disbelievers. There's only two groups. The disbelievers, amongst themselves, they might have ikhtilaf, they might be this group, that group, but all of them are kafirs. And we are all believers. There's two groups in that sense. You might have other groups in social ways, but religiously speaking, there's kufr and there's iman. That's it. That's all that is. On the day of judgment, there's only kufr and iman, belief and disbelief. There's nothing else. This is what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is also telling us. And he says, most people are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. At the end, dekho, Yusuf alayhi salam ki halat dekho. Look at his state. He's in the most deplorable state. He's in prison. He's been made publicly ashamed. But yet he's grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jo bhi halat ho, always be in a state of shukr. The opposite of shukr is kufr, by the way. Ingratitude. What are the meanings of kufr? Is ingratitude. Always be in a state of shukr. Shukr alhamdulillah. Whatever state you are in. Because Allah will give you more. Because Allah says what in the Quran? La in shakartum la azidannakum. If you're grateful, I'll give you more. Wa la in kafartum. If you're ungrateful, then my punishment is very, very severe. So we should always be in a state of gratitude for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Finally, we see here, we haven't interpreted the dream yet. We haven't done the dream yet. We're going to do that next week. But dekho, the dream is to do with the dunyawi affair. We'll see. The dream later on, it has a dunyawi meaning to it. It's to do with this world. He will help them with that. He won't say, I'm not going to help you. But sabse pehle kya kiya unhe da'wat di inko. You see what he's done? He gave them da'wat. He said, I'm going to help you. Of course I'm going to help you. That's what prophets do. I don't care if you're a mushrik. I'm going to give you da'wah. I'm going to give you tabligh. And then I'm going to help you as well. So we also see, if you want to win people over, two ways. Number one, do da'wah and tabligh. Number two is do nusrat. You got the tabligh, elders, and the ethos and the philosophy of tabligh in these few ayat. So here, can I? Have I not given you the essence of tabligh in this three ayat of the Quran? Because some people say to me, Sheikh, not here, other places, they say, Sheikh, where does tabligh come from? They ask me, Sheikh, Marana Harun, you know, in your masjid you have tabligh, and in black one you have tabligh effort, and you have a PhD, and how can you not criticizing them? How are you not calling them out, Sheikh? I'm like, my friend, do you ever read the Quran? Do you ever read the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Where did this come from? No, it's in the Quran, and I've given you not from the Quran, just from three ayahs from the Quran. It's there in the Quran, Allah talks about it time and time again. It's just that we don't see it that way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give istiqamah. Everybody listening at home, everybody here should get involved in the work of tabligh. Just through these three ayat, I've proven it to you. Alhamdulillah. And I can continue proving for every verse in the Quran if I wanted to, bifadlillahi ta'ala. So we should encourage people in our communities, in our masadi, we should support this effort, because this brings in the barakah. Just like Yusuf alayhi salam will get najat in the end, we are going to get najat ku da'wan tabli. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, wa bihamdika, nashadu la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu. Jazakallah.